Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, my brother Lloyd.
Good afternoon, my brother.
How's Harare this afternoon?
Harare is a bit so cold, but we're good.
Fantastic. Well, I think it's the time of the year, so we've got to just embrace it and be prepared, eh?
Yeah, without doubt, yes.
Now, yesterday we learned that the Bible, despite being written by multiple authors over centuries, still somehow manages to present a coherent theological and historical narrative, as you suggested yesterday. Now, I want to talk about some reasons why we can trust the Bible. So the VOP lesson, Voice of Prophecy lesson, suggests that today. So please do give us a summary of today's lesson as to why we do trust the Bible.
Excellent. Right. There is a statement found in the book. There's a bit echo from my side. Is it coming from your end?
It's clear from my side. I'm not sure. Do you have an echo?
Yeah, I'm having a bit.
I wonder. It's quite clear on my side. Very clear.
Right. So I was saying there's a statement which is found in the book Great Controversy. Page 527, whereby Ellen White says, God has given ample evidence for faith, but those who look for hooks on which to hang their doubts, they will always find them. Yeah. So this is a very important thing. Because you always have people whose professions is to find fault with the Bible. But at least this profession comes to me and says, if you find hooks to hang your doubts on, you always find. Right? It is also interesting to note that people have been killed, they've been maimed, they've lost property, they've been displaced, and you name it, over the Bible, but the Bible remains the best seller. Yeah, so just by this, it is proof, or it should ring a bell that the Bible is more than an ordinary book. Yeah. Then I want to delve into maybe why the preservation of the Bible is remarkable. Because as we already learned, that we do have the first book of the Bible written over a millennium before Christ. And how has it stood the test of time? This is the subject for today. I would want to introduce the evidence to a man called Voltaire. He was a French infidel who made a claim that I'm tired of hearing that Christianity was started by 12 men. But I desire to show that it requires one man to pull it down. You see, Voltaire was quite a man in his days, that this was no idle threat. But interestingly, whereas he meant to do that in 100 years from the time he present, within 50 years, his house was housing a Bible society, the Evangelical Society of Geneva. You see, because God proved a point there that this is not the work of a man to be put down by a man. So there's so much that has happened to the Bible, which is not put the power which God has provided for its preservation. You know, we've had many Dutch translations and things like that, but the Bible is put the test of time. You see? And I just want to bring to light some interesting things that have happened in the preservation of the Bible. For example, you should be aware of the Septuagint project, whereby about 72 Jews were brought together, and put into groups of six, which made them 12 groups in total.
Mm-hmm.
And they were tasked with translating the Bible into Greek, because Greek was the lingua franca then.
Mm.
But interestingly, across the 12 groups, they came with exactly the same translation, which is quite a feat.
Wasn't the Septuagint already a translated language?
No, this was a project of doing the Greek Bible, as far as I understand.
I see.
Mm. You see. So this was quite a feat. Sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. And another thing that also attests to God's working in the preservation of the Bible was in how the manuscripts were produced, because these books were written by him, and there were no photocopiers or scans or things like that back then. Yeah, but when you read on how the copies worked, you hear that after having done all the copying, they would count the number of words, find the middlemost word to make sure that it had been copied as was, and if there had been any error, immediately that copy was discarded. So all these efforts were directed at making sure that the Bible is preserved as it was from the beginning, which is why yesterday I indicated that there is no error with the Bible. God has made it so.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
Then another interesting point is to do with the historical accuracy of the Bible. It is also another remarkable area of study. And I'll just bring two points. There had been some things stated in the Bible which had not been backed by secular history. And we did have skeptics hanging their doubts on these things. For example, when we look at the Adventist understanding of the role of the United States in prophecy, before America became a nation, it would not make sense that it would be a superpower, for example.
Yeah.
But because the Bible had said it, it came to pass. This is something remarkable. And even the example of Abraham, he came from Ur of the Chaldeans. There had not been any knowledge in history of such a place. But archaeologists later on made these discoveries that indeed the Bible is for real, and what it had said had been. Then another interesting one is in the book of Daniel, when you read the fall of Babylon in Daniel chapter 5, we hear that Belshazzar telling Daniel that if you interpret this writing, you would be the third ruler in the kingdom of Babylon. For many years, the skeptics, or if I could call them skeptics for lack of a better word, they sought to shoot this account down, this narrative down, because there had not been a king who went by the name of Belshazzar.
Mm-mm.
Yet the Bible indicated that there had been. And this stretched for a long time up until the 19th century, which is a fairly recent, I could say, whereby they came across archaeological records that indicated how King Nabonidus was a very itinerant king, and he would leave a son called Belshazzar as co-regent, which is why the son would talk of Daniel being the third ruler. You see, so all the claims that had been made by skeptics, they tumbled down, because the Bible was being history's tutor, if I could say that. You see?
Okay.
Then, lastly, the accuracy, the Bible is so full of prophecy. When you look just say, for example, the book of Daniel, mm-hmm. around 606 BC, Daniel unveiling the progression of nations up until the end of time.
Mm.
And these things have happened as it were, as had been shown to him, which is definitely not a work of guesswork. I'm always reminded of there was a gentleman called Arthur Marx. He was also an Adventist, was editor of the Signs of the Times. So when you were in the World War II, he decided to have a headline to the Signs of the Times that had a rhetoric question: will Hitler rule the world?
Mm.
And in his article, he had said, just because the Bible said Europe would not unite, Hitler would not rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is very regrettable that even fellow Christians who claim to believe the same Bible thought he was being too zealous. Yeah, but Arthur Maxwell was well grounded in the accurate fulfillment of Bible predictions, shown that we can trust the Bible. And for all we know, he can never move the world. So we want to propose these 3 points as strong proof that we can trust the Bible.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful indeed. Yes,
it was preserved.
Mm.
Secondly, the historical accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, how prophecy has been fulfilled to the dot. I would run out of time talking about how the Ottoman Empire fell, and it must have been Charles or Josiah who had interpreted the prophecy in Revelation 9 and 10 as to the exact date whereby the Ottoman Empire would fall. The Bible had put it before around AD 95, as we learned yesterday, when John the Revelator put it down.
Mm. Yeah, well, quite a mouthful. Thank you so much for your time here, my elder. And it's a beautiful, beautiful one. Now, before I let you go, the Bible is in its entirety. You're saying that we can then be sure because of that. Tell me about the different, translations, though. We've got different translations or versions of Scripture. Can we also trust those?
It is unfortunate, my elder, that the elder, the devil, sorry, as Ellen White puts it, he does have 1,000 masked batteries with which he seeks to ensnare God's children.
Mm.
So in as much as many have been very earnest in seeking for the Bible to be understood better by having different translations, so much is fallen by the wayside, and many people do hold in hand what really is not the Bible of God or David.
Mm.
You do have so many versions that support certain theologies, that push certain narratives and things like that. So I would want to come out strong on that not all Bibles are Bibles.
Mm. How do we know which one is the Bible if not all the Bibles are Bibles?
We need to go back ad fontes, like I said yesterday, that just to the foundations, that there are versions that are closest to the originals. You can talk of the King James Version,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the New King James Version, in that it gives much more easier English to be understood.
Mm.
I think from an English point of view, those two are much closer to the original text than any other.
Mm. Well, my elder, I must thank you so much for your time and coming through. Blessings to you, and always, always, always a pleasure to have you here on AWR. Until we speak again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Keep well and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.